passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
We say hello to you on a Thursday. Great to have you on board as we get ready for the weekend. We'll be in Knoxville tomorrow. Let's get started with a few headlines and then a number of guests waiting by. Saban says players smiled through early season adversity. That's the word from the head man. As the Tide had its struggles, those are well documented. Meanwhile, Kirby Smart says Georgia did not have a good practice on Tuesday. Alert the media. Actually, we just did alert the media. The last five practices were good, he said. Whatever. I mean, we're splitting hairs, but then again, we're talking about the Dogs. Coach Prime, why would Deion stiff Texas A&M? Well, stay tuned. Anything to get Deion back on this show. SEC Coach of the Year race. I know that was something that you were thinking about when you woke up this morning. Who's going to win? Connor O'Gara has been thinking about that because he obviously has nothing else to think about. Connor, good afternoon.
What an intro, Paul. That was great, even for you. I love the fact that we can talk about interesting storylines. Look, we got a bunch of other things. We don't have to talk about SEC Coach of the Year. I just think it was one of those things that a lot of people are assuming it's Eli Drinkwitz. It's in the bag, and they're not looking at the fact that the last four winners have been national championship coaches, and six of the last seven have gone to a national championship. So I just thought it was an interesting thing to discuss, but we don't have to if you don't want to.
Oh, I do. No, I mean, listen, When Danny Bramwood throws up that headline, I am married to that. It doesn't matter whether I even understand it, whether it's in French, Spanish, Russian, Hebrew, any of the many languages that I speak fluently. I am going to ask you this in English, though. Who's going to win the SEC Coach of the Year?
I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think Kirby Smart might actually win it. And look, that might be an unpopular opinion. And there is definitely still a path for Eli Drinkwitz to win. There's still a path for Nick Saban to win. That's why I wrote that the race is down to three. But if I'm betting today, I think that statement that you can make in an SEC championship is loud. And in the SEC, it's not just the coach who overachieves the most. It's the coach who handles adversity in season and can show us greatness. That's what we tend to reward with Coach of the Year. At least that's what recent history has shown us. So I think Kirby Smart, dealing with the fact that he had obviously a ton of turnover on that roster, the midseason injury to Brock Bowers, a team that didn't start particularly fast, and gets into this position where now everybody's looking at Georgia like, whoa, that's clearly the most dominant team in the country. And if they can get through this stretch, this three-game stretch against top 25 opponents with nothing but victories heading into potentially being 12-0 in the SEC championship, I think there will be a lot of people that will want to give Kirby Smart his flowers.
Yeah, I mean, but it's interesting too about what Eli Drinkwitz has done, and I mean, it's a different situation what he's trying to accomplish. But the turnaround for him, I know you would agree, seems to be far more dramatic.
He would have my vote. There's no doubt about it. I think what he has done this year to surpass some expectations is pretty stunning. Because I mean, think about it. The game that they played this past weekend, that was the first time that Mizzou has won a matchup of ranked opponents in a decade since Johnny Manziel went into Mizzou, and that was a regular season finale, the Henry Josey run that Mizzou fans remember very fondly. And it's been a decade. And for them to have that moment, you saw the emotion on that sideline, the buy-in that his team has. I think there are a lot of people that would be perfectly fine with Eli Drinkwitz winning that award, because there were idiots like myself who went on public platforms and said this team is probably still sitting there at 6-6. And I was dumb to ignore the Bill Connelly metric, the percentage of returning production, which had him at number 2 in the country in the updated rankings in August. I should have paid more attention to that. I should have paid more attention to the Kirby Moore hire and the way that Eli Drinkwitz was able to adapt and not die with this team. And I think his team has adapted in such a phenomenal way to be at a place now where they are two favorable matchups away from getting to a New Year's Six Bowl.
Connor, let's talk about some other things. First of all, the situation with A&M, just your overall view of what went down, first of all.
I think we saw a situation that felt like it couldn't lose. And I think in college football, we probably need to get that out of our mindset that a situation simply can't fail. Any situation can fail. And if you have a coach like Jimbo Fisher, who for too long of a time, in my opinion, did not adapt on the offensive side of the ball and waited too long to hire his first offensive play caller, you can see that talent was not maximized. And the ironic thing about this firing and the timing of it isn't just the fact that they scored more points against an SEC team than they've had since the 7 overtime game against LSU. It's the fact that their offense is 12 points per game better this year. And the Bobby Petrino hire has actually kind of worked out. But you saw a coach that with unbelievable talent and resources was not able to maximize it. And some of the issues that I think plagued him down the stretch at Florida State showed up once again. I think stubbornness got in his way. And I think that this is a job that still has a lot of things going for it. And they're going to be able to get a top-notch candidate. If there's a lesson to be learned from it, I think it's the length of the contract. We don't need to offer coaches 10-year fully guaranteed contracts. I know that was the norm a couple of years ago, but we probably need to get away from it. And seeing something fail like this in epic fashion, have a $76 million buyout, hopefully that will send warning signs to athletic directors across the country.
But Connor, you know these guys, men and women, you've watched them operate. Do you really think it's going to change anything?
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm saying that knowing that, look, I can sit here and preach and say that, well, you can't agree to this contract, you can't agree to that contract. I think that we are still at a place now, though, where we're a bit numb to this money. I kept banging the drum, and I said on this show that we had never seen a buyout more than $21.5 million paid to a college football head coach. So until someone actually says we are willing to pay that and not create some sort of scandal to fire a coach with cause, I will believe it when I see it. Well, now I believe it because I just saw it. And now I'm wondering how many of these buyouts are going to be paid in the future, because there are a lot of bad contracts and not everybody's going to be able to find their way out of them with cause. And it's not always going to be, you know, a Mel Tucker situation or something like that, where you can rely on scandal to get out of a bad contract. So yeah, it is going to continue to become the norm because there's really no incentive for them to stop.
As far as the parlor game in relation to who's next at A&M, what do you hear and what do you think would be the ideal candidate, if there is one?
Isn't it weird that Dabo Swinney hasn't said no? Isn't it weird that Dabo Swinney has not come out with a Dan Lanning-like defiance that he would leave for this job, or a Deion Sanders-like defiance that he would leave for that job? I don't think it will happen. But it's one to keep in mind. I was talking to Ari Wasserman with The Athletic about this, about how in many ways it would almost feel like history repeating itself if they hired Dabo Swinney. And if they actually said, we're going to hire the national championship winning coach with a lot of credentials that many people are saying is on the wrong end of his career in terms of, you know, the lack of success in recent memory. And if they were willing to make a heavy investment, a $150 million investment into something like that, I don't think it'll be Dabo Swinney. If I had to sit here and guess today, I still think Mike Elko's the guy. I think for the last 2 years, we've seen what A&M has looked like without Mike Elko, and he's done tremendous things at Duke, a place that obviously doesn't have much history to speak of on the football field. And compared to, you know, what he could be making, I think it would be a tremendous leap up. And I think that you could do a whole lot worse than Mike Elko as your head coach.
Finally, we've seen two SEC coaches go. There's a lot of speculation about several others. How would you handicap the rest of the season for those coaches?
I hate to say it because I think he's the most likable coach in America, and I truly wish him well. But I do think Sam Pittman will be fired at season's end. I think the optics of these home games have just been so bad. It's so hard to overcome home optics. And I go back to the Paul Christ example at Wisconsin that we saw last year, where somebody who's so loyal to him, Barry Alvarez, looked at the optics of an emptied out stadium amidst a lost season and how bad that looked on the program, because you got to be able to sell hope. And I think Arkansas, even though Hunter Yurecek has been so unbelievably loyal to Sam Pittman and has been willing to work with him for extensions, hiring him in the first place and being willing to understand the tough position he was in, to not have 2020 count against his overall record with the performance-based buyout and all these different things, I still think the optics have been too bad. And if I had to bet on one, it's going to be that. I do think Billy Napier gets another year, but he'll be on every hot seat list in America entering next season.
Great stuff. Connor O'Gara joining us from SDS. We head to the break. Your phone calls are around the corner. Many more guests will be dropping by. Don't forget, tomorrow in Knoxville, we are loaded to the gills. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So we had Connor on, Seth Emerson joining us. John U. Bacon, the leading authority on Michigan, as we are now about 14 hours away from the hearing in the state of Michigan. And Booger joins us for the first time in some time. We'll get his take on Harbaugh, the SEC, and the national championship race. John is up next. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well, thank you.
Paul, here's what I think Jim Harbaugh wants to do. He wants to win this national championship so bad that if he has to cheat a little bit, he will. Then if they do win the national championship, and they got a good chance of doing it, then he'll want to stick it to all the people that can't stand him, including Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. Then I think he'll leave Michigan, go to the NFL, maybe coach the Chicago Bears to see if they can win again. I think that's what he wants to do.
Well said. Thank you. Dwayne is up next. Hello, Dwayne.
Gobble, gobble. Hey, Paul Feinbaum, what's happening with you, baby?
Hey, Dwayne.
Huh? Hey, tell Sam Pittman to shoot that pig they got in Arkansas and put it on somebody's dinner table. Hey, they need to call that pig. Hey, Paul, I'm really called to tell you about that dude. What that dude called you Tuesday? Dan from Ohio? What
yeah.
Dan was from? He went off on you.
Why would somebody do that, Dwayne?
That dude, Dan, where that dude from? He from Pennsylvania. Where you from? Somewhere. Tuesday went off on you. You got mad with him. Huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know I'm talking about that fool there. You should have cussed him out. You should have told him about himself. You did tell him a little bit about himself, but you should have went off on him, Paul, Mr. Paul, calling you like that, playing with you, man. Nobody don't play with Mr. Paul Feinbaum on SEC Network. That man bought the Big Ten country. You should have went off on him.
Well, Dwayne, we don't like to curse people out here. It's bad for business.
Man, that clown, that man came from way up north, from Ohio somewhere, Pennsylvania. Talk bad about you, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, anyway, ask Booger. He need to be the defensive coordinator for LSU.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I will ask Booger. I mean, Booger
he played on the defensive line.
He's a good
you know what I'm saying, for LSU?
He would – What do you think about Booger? You think Booger could be a good D.C.?
Yeah, he could be a good D.C. He could be a good D.C. He played it. He played it. Hey, somebody all smile. They all smile in Alabama, huh? You think so? You think he's going to be all smile for the SEC championship? Huh? The Alabama fans? They all smile right now, huh? Hey, next year, it should be all SEC schedule. It should be nobody – And playing on week 10. The first game they should play out the dump is they should play Texas. out the dome. Play Oklahoma. Play us. Play us. Play LSU the first game. You know what I'm saying? All SEC games should be straight SEC. Since we got two more fools in there, two more clowns. Right? That's all I got to say. But that dude, Dan, when he calls you back, curse him out for me. Bye.
Thank you. As we continue, there could be some more news on Harbaugh. We'll update that in just a moment, but there is a lot of speculation brewing right now that something is in the air. Let me go to Augie next. Hey, Augie.
Hey, Paul, if I ever say anything bad in the future about Jeff from Ohio and how loud he is, you need to, like, tell me to whack the phone against my head.
I will.
How do you leave Dwayne's calls without having a headache?
I like Dwayne. I liked him better when he was on the rig. I liked him better a couple of hundred miles out on the Gulf. But
there you go. We're all safer. Hey, Paul, I got a. You ever watch Jeopardy?
Not in a long time, but when I was younger, which was a long time ago, I used to love it. It was one of my favorite game shows.
Okay. You know how they answer questions, right?
Who with a question.
I'm going to ask you some questions about your callers to test your knowledge on who you know.
Okay.
First one, his homespun country wisdom and observations generally denigrate that team in Tuscaloosa.
Who is? Wow. There's about 10 choices.
Well, there you go. But he calls you every day, pretty much.
Okay.
He's a reasonable guy for the most part.
Does he speak with an accent?
He likes music and he played in a band. So I'm giving you a lot of hints.
Oh. Who is I-Man?
Right. Next one. She believes her calls bore Paul to death and is passionately hated by a small mammal with a fluffy tail that lives in a tree.
You trailed off there at the end. I'm not sure if I...
Oh, she believes her calls bore Paul to death and is passionately hated by a small mammal with a fluffy tail that lives in a tree.
Who is Miss Pat?
There you go. You got it. Next one, he who will not be disrespected at the penalty of being shunned.
Who's that? Who is Jim from Tuscaloosa?
There you go. I had to put Jim down on me last time. I didn't imitate him. His calls are incoherent, as well as his disdain for the people who live under the stars and stripes.
Who is AC from Bangladesh?
Perfect. And last one, he begins each call with a philosophical critique and dissertation of recent Feinbaum broadcasts.
Who is John from Louisville?
Perfect. Now, here's one you'll never get. It's the bonus one. He is unquestionably the biggest dummy who regularly calls the Feinbaum show.
Who is Augie from New Orleans?
You got it all.
Hey, Augie, thanks. We have some breaking news on Jim Harbaugh. I know you are saying, haven't we heard it all? But this is significant. Jim Harbaugh has accepted his 3-game suspension from the Big Ten, which will close its investigation. That means he will miss the game Saturday at Maryland, and he will miss the Ohio State game. So for all of the protestations from all of the Michigan people, from the pundits to everyone else, this is a stunning development. There will be no TRO hearing tomorrow. This is done. He will serve the suspension until the Big Ten championship game, assuming Michigan is in that. We don't have a lot of information, but we will try to get you some more as the story was breaking while I was trying to win the Double Jeopardy contest, so I got a little bit distracted. Okay, we do have the statement now. This morning, the university, Coach Harbaugh, and the Big Ten resolved their pending litigation. The conference agreed to close its investigation, and the university and Coach Harbaugh agreed to accept a 3-game suspension. Coach Harbaugh, with the university's support, decided to accept the sanctions to return to the focus on our student athletes and their performance on the field. The conference has confirmed that it is not aware of any information suggesting Coach Harbaugh's involvement in the allegations. The university continues to cooperate fully with the NCAA's investigation. So here, I'm trying to analyze this as we speak, but it seems like this is what Michigan is going to try to do. They're going to try to hang their hat on the fact that there is no quote-unquote smoking gun, meaning that they are comfortable with the fact that they are not going to win the temporary restraining order, which I think most people thought was a long shot. They are also going to simply end it here, trying to get out while the getting is good. I think at some points, cooler heads prevailed, maybe even at the top of the food chain. They were going up again. I mean, in spite of all the talking heads and the Desmond Howards and the Charles Woodsons and all these people like that, they did not have a winning argument. And I think they knew that. And all they were doing was further antagonizing the Big Ten, which probably has significantly more information. So for all of the conversation about there's nothing here, there's no evidence, there's no anything, it's pretty interesting that the University of Michigan would agree that we're done. We'll accept a 3-game suspension, end of litigation, end of conversation, and we'll see Jim Harbaugh whenever we see him. We'll take a short break. John U. Bacon, 1 hour away.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
And we're back. Again, the news that we will get some reaction to as we work our way through the afternoon, that Michigan has folded its tent and admitted that and acknowledged that they are not going to move on from here. The 3-game suspension holds up. There will be no TRO tomorrow. There'll be no anything other than getting this thing over with and seeing where it goes. Let's get back to the calls. And John is up next from Louisville. Hey, John. John, you there? John, okay, let me try that one more time. Okay, I have you now.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, great breaking story there. And I always felt it was kind of a, like Washman said, a quasi suspension. I mean, he gets to coach all week. He just isn't on the sideline for the fourth down plays or the trick plays, whatever. But you know, I thought the Big Ten commissioner was fair to him. He said, hey, we have no proof that you're linked to it. We looked at the NCAA investigation. Let's move on. And I think it's a smart move by Michigan just to put it behind them.
Yeah, so, I also think it's a tremendous win for Tony Petitti, who went out on a limb. He caught all the shrapnel last week. You know, all the true sickos out there from the Michigan fan base. And the school realized that the commissioner has all the power. And Harbaugh doesn't have due process any longer. You know that. We've been through this, and I think it was a very smart. It's better to be late than to completely humiliate yourself tomorrow, especially if a Michigan judge ruled against them.
Although it was a Michigan grab, but you're right, and quite frankly, the Big Ten commissioner absolved Harbaugh direct any direct links, so they should be happy and move on. Hey, it was good to have Legend back in the saddle. We missed him, and a nice coaching story.
And one more thing, John. I think the key line is this: that the conference. So what did Michigan get in return? The conference agreed to say we're done with it. We're closing our investigation. Mandel, with a quick pop analysis, it's a win-win for all parties. The Big Ten gets to uphold its suspension. Michigan is assured nothing more comes out in discovery, and the lawyers collect a week's worth of billable hours. Well, in fact, the lawyers actually lost because this thing could have been dragged through a number of courts. Michigan was going to lose. They knew that. I mean, they are, they may not, their fans might not be very smart, John, but the lawyers at Michigan are.
Yeah, and the bottom line is it moves forward, and they absolved Harbaugh of any direct links, but we'll see what the NCAA turns up.
That's the mountain that they will die on, but it's not really a fair statement, but good for them.
Hey, a nice coaching story. David Braun, they lifted the interim tag off him. He's the coach at Northwestern, and they may get to, after one win last year, they may be bowl bound this year. And quite frankly, Paul, I think he's done a better job than the big ticket hires of Matt Rhule and Luke Fickell, don't you?
Yeah, he's done a phenomenal job. He's got a really tough game this weekend, though, and a lot of people think he could go down. Let's move on with more phone calls. And Chris is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Paul Weinberg?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I just want to say a couple things this evening. With the Jim Harbaugh thing, the NCAA said they didn't find nothing in the investigation. Do you think that was correct, or you think they just blew smoke just to get it all out the way?
Well, Chris, first of all, the NCAA has not released its investigation. What the Big Ten said is they did not have a direct link to Harbaugh, but that's more legalese. They wanted to make it more about the university than Harbaugh for a future litigation standpoint.
Okay. All right. Another thing, I asked you a couple. You think Sam Pittman will be a coach of Arkansas next year? With that blowout they got to Auburn this weekend, what do you think now?
Yeah, Chris, I think that is one of the unknowns out there. You heard Connor O'Gara a few minutes ago say he does not think Sam will survive. I don't have any independent information on that, so I'll defer to those who claim to know. But in the end, it would be a shame to see him leave. He's a very popular figure. He's done a good job of building back some confidence in a downtrodden program. And, if you get rid of Sam, I hope they have a good answer. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Glad to hear from you. Stacy is up next in Birmingham. Hey, Stacy.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, what's the breaking news, man? Tell me the breaking news. What's the breaking news?
Well, I mentioned that Harbaugh's suspension will be upheld. They are not fighting it any longer. That's what the breaking news is.
I think, Paul, you and I talked last week. We already knew that, right, Paul?
Well, I think we knew what should happen. I don't think we knew what was going to happen.
Well, let me ask you this, Paul Finebaum. What if that was Nick Saban?
Is something going on with Coach?
No, I'm just saying, if that was Nick Saban, they talking about stealing signs and doing all that. People be talking about stripping championships and taking this away and taking that away and doing everything else. Don't you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh is there are not many coaches better known than Jim Harbaugh. Nick Saban happens to be one, so I'm not sure it would matter. I think this right now is a conference-wide decision. I've been asked many times, what would the SEC do? I don't know what the SEC would do. I would hope that the SEC would act accordingly. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Bash is up next. How are you, Bash?
I'm not even going to ask you, Paul, how you're doing today. I got to respond to the callers that called me out yesterday, and then I will address your comments you made as well at the end. First, let me start with Stacy from Birmingham. Touche, Stacy, to trick Paul Feinbaum with making him respond to both of his last names. That was brilliant. And if you ask me to give him 50 feet, bruh, I'm a mile of feet above him. But I'm glad we found peace between
Randy, I asked you this yesterday. From now on, when Bash calls, can you make sure the interpreter is sitting next to me? Thank you.
Is that a reference saying it's hard to understand me, Paul?
It is very difficult to understand what you're talking about at any time that you ever call.
What we're going to do is
go to somebody we do understand better, and that's AC.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum, how you feeling, sir? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Mr. Feinbaum, let me ask you a question. Why do people become so sensitive with your station? Can you please address that for me?
AC, you start out speaking one language and it seems like it morphs into a different one. What did you say again?
I said, how come your callers, your 99% of the callers, how come they take everything so personally, so seriously?
I don't know.
That's right, because you're not going to know. Because they have nothing better to do. I don't take anything personally. Mr. Feinbaum, just say AC is a bad caller. It doesn't bother me, because I'm here to have fun, man. So everyone should lighten up. You know what I'm saying? This is why I hate you, fat Americans, for a reason.
Ooh, thank you. I have to say something I can't believe I'm about to say. Bash was a better caller than that guy. We will take a break. We are off and running on a busy Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
More on the breaking news about Jim Harbaugh and Michigan agreeing to the 3-game suspension. We'll have John Bacon's analysis coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's check in with Greg, who is up next in Florida. Hello, Greg.
How are you, Paul? I'm a diehard Gator alum. I'm back from the days of Doug Dickey being the head coach. So it takes you a ways back in the way back machine.
Oh, yes, sir.
And I've been through the Spurrier era, the Urban Meyer era, and then the flash in the pans we've had in between. And I just wanted to call. I'm incredibly disappointed with what I've seen from Billy Napier. He's got this new defensive coordinator who I have underwear that's older than. And I'm just curious what you think about the job they've done and if they're going to be around at the end of the season. And lastly, who you might suggest to be a replacement for either Napier and his defensive coordinator or the whole lot of them.
Well, Greg, I don't know really what is going to happen, but I think it would be less than honest to say these next 2 weeks are critical. And I think if somehow Napier can steal a win against Missouri, or probably his better chance would be to get one against Florida State at home, then I think
that's at home, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the bigger of the two games, even though it's not a conference game, but it's a game that matters the world. And I think ending the season on a high note, getting to a bowl game, I think it wouldn't really solve a lot of the problems, but it would calm the waters. Two losses here, I think, are critical for a couple of reasons. Number one, it really does damage recruiting in terms of trajectory. More questions like this get asked. I don't know what the situation is down there. I mean, I know is that Scott Strickland, who is Napier's boss, has repeatedly and emphatically defended him. So I don't think he would be doing that if there was any wiggle room in terms of letting him go. But I think these next 9 days are going to be very revealing.
Well, these Bull Gator supporters have some pretty deep pockets. So, you know, if anybody is out there that you think might be a good fit, I'd be interested to hear who that might
be. I can't help you there because I think
the return of Urban Meyer.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Urban Meyer burned a lot of bridges on his way out of town there, and since then, and there's very little love lost between Urban Meyer and some of the people that are still there. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Billy is up next. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how you doing?
We are well. Thanks for calling.
Pretty good. Bring our man and legend on while I'm talking if you want to. And God rest. Did you hear about the news about Ken Squire?
I did hear that Ken Squire was the voice of NASCAR. I thought he was one of the great broadcasters in sports history.
Yeah, may God rest his soul, may rest in peace, and Tammy too. Don't forget her and everything. I think Jerry Milroy will win the Heisman, and I hope Jim Harbaugh gets fired and goes to my Chicago Bears to be head coach. And I guarantee you, a good replacement for Mississippi State is alum Bobby Wallace. And I'll hold on while you get I-Man and Legend on the line. I'll hold on.
Good deal. Thanks for the call. Adina is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Adina. Good afternoon.
Hey, I retired from working for the military about 3 months ago, but I used to tell my soldiers, when you smell tuna, something ain't right. And you know that Harbaugh and them are so grateful. It's like getting a sentence of probation after you've murdered somebody. You fight for, I want this or that, but notice how quick they took that deal. There is so much underneath this, and they're just moving on. It'll be a forgotten issue.
Well, thank you very much. You smell tuna right now?
Not now, but it's possible.
Okay. I used to like tuna. Now I'm afraid to ever bring a tuna sandwich with me again because people will think that I've done something terrible. Peggy is up next.
Hey there, Paul. How are you?
Peggy, coming up your way tomorrow.
I know that, Paul. Hey, listen, do you know Tony Basilio?
Yeah, I know Tony.
Basilio.
Sure, I knew Tony. I haven't talked to him. I haven't seen him in a while, but I knew him pretty well back in the day.
Yeah, well, I cannot believe how in the world, I guess I'd never tuned in to that show, but I guess once I had started listening to Feinbaum, that made me think, well, maybe there's some, you know, local stuff. So I started listening to him, and now I'm a pretty regular caller. I'm taking after Legend, one of your little...
I don't have my Knoxville radio grid in front of me. What time is he on?
He comes on in the morning, 11 to 1.
Okay.
And he's over at Calhoun's, you know, every Friday before the ball game. So I'm going to be over tomorrow.
I may have to drop by and see him tomorrow. I'll be in town.
Come on, tomorrow.
I wonder if I could get like a free, free hors d'oeuvre at Calhoun's if I come by?
Yeah, we're having a birthday party for Titans Bill.
Okay.
He's kind of like our cat daddy.
You know Calhoun's, don't you, Randy? That's down on the river, right below the campus.
He does his show from there on Fridays.
Okay. And yeah, I was in Knoxville a couple of years ago speaking at an event that was at Calhoun's.
Yeah. That's the first time I've been in a long time. first time I ever went, I went there with some girlfriends from the Open Hearth and the Chippendale guys.
Peggy, if I came by at 11, would the bar be open? Would it be too early to grab a couple of drinks?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no. It's ready to go. Ready to go.
I just thought, I'm in town. And when you're in Knoxville, act like you're in Knoxville.
That's true. Y'all come by.
What do you think, Randy? I mean, how many do you think I should throw back before the show?
I think a solid four.
Three or four.
Hey, look,
can you stay with me, Peggy?
Dolly's gonna be there tomorrow, don't you?
Can you go four shots before the show?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.